Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Acts chapter 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates, and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them, and brought them out, and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison, and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them, and departed.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Lesson 105, Directing of the Holy Spirit. In our last lesson, we learned about how contentions arose in the church over the doctrine of the gospel for the Gentiles, and how this was settled by appealing to the Word of God. Today we shall consider the advancement of the gospel into new areas through the directing of the Holy Spirit and the conversion of the first European Christian. When Paul and his new partner Silas came to Derbe and Lystra, they met a young disciple named Timothy. Timothy had a good Christian testimony, and Paul desired Timothy to join their mission team. Paul had Timothy circumcised to prevent any complaints from the Jews about Timothy, since he was from a Gentile family, though his mother was Jewish. Timothy would become a true missionary and help Paul to spread the gospel and encourage the church for many years to follow. As the three evangelists made their journey eastward toward Phrygia and Galatia, the Holy Spirit did not allow them to preach in these areas, so they tried to go north towards Bithynia. And again, the Holy Spirit would not permit them to go. Eventually, they came to the town of Troas on the eastern shores of modern Turkey. While in Troas, Paul received a vision at night of a man from Macedonia pleading with him to come over to Macedonia and help. After this vision, the three missionaries concluded that the Lord was calling them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Today, this is northern Greece. This meant that the gospel would now spread from Asia and the Middle East for what today is known as Europe. They boarded a ship and came across the sea to the island of Samothrace, and they continued sailing to the port town of Neapolis, and then made their way to the major city of that area called Philippi. At Philippi, they went to the riverside on the Sabbath day, for that is where people met for prayer. They met some women there and began to speak with them about the gospel. A woman named Lydia responded to the gospel message and became the first European Christian. Lydia and the others who believed were baptized, and she pleaded with the missionaries to stay at her house, so they were glad to stay in her home. One day, when they were going for prayer, a certain girl possessed by an evil spirit met them, and followed after the missionaries, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation." She did this for several days, but Paul was annoyed and commanded the evil spirit to depart from her, and the spirit left her. Now this girl had powers of divination and fortune-telling, and she was used by her masters to make plenty of money. When they saw that the woman had lost her powers because the spirit had left her, they were not at all pleased, for this meant their way of making money was now gone. Therefore they dragged Paul and Silas into the marketplace and before the city officials. They accused the missionaries of stirring up trouble in their city, teaching customs that are not lawful to Romans. The city officials had Paul and Silas beaten and cast into prison, while Paul and Silas were suffering from their injuries and in chains in a dark prison cell. They did not grow discouraged, but amazingly we find them singing praises at midnight. The sound of their praises must have so pleased God that he caused an earthquake to open the chains of the prisoners, and all the doors were opened. It was as if God were saying, "You are all now free to go." This is what the gospel does for us when we receive Christ as our Savior. All our debt of sin is paid in full, and we are given a pardon to go free. When the jailer was awakened by the earthquake and saw that the prison doors were open, he must have assumed that all the prisoners had escaped. This meant that as a Roman prison guard, he would be put to death for letting his prisoners get away while he slept. Knowing that he was doomed to execution, he decided he should just kill himself. But as he took his sword to kill himself, he heard a voice calling to him from inside the prison. It was Paul shouting that they were all inside the prison, so he did not have to harm himself. When the guard brought a light and entered the prison, he fell down before Paul and Silas, trembling. When he brought them out of the prison, he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What a wonderful question to ask, and it was because he could see the kindness in these missionaries that cared for the life of one who held them unjustly in prison. He was convinced that these men indeed knew the way of salvation. Paul and Silas told the man, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." The gospel is so simple that often people miss it. All God asks us to do is believe on Jesus. He went to the cross to pay for our sins, and now we can have our sins forgiven when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Do you believe in Jesus? The jailer, like Lydia, was baptized and took the missionaries to his house and treated them kindly. The city officials wanted to release Paul and Barnabas, but when they found out that they were Roman citizens and they had unlawfully beaten them and cast them into prison without a trial, they were afraid and pleaded with Paul and Silas to leave their city. When released from prison, they went again to the house of Lydia to encourage the Christian church that now gathered at her home. The Holy Spirit led the missionaries to a prison in Philippi, but he also caused more to believe the gospel and the church to be established. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Acts chapter 16, verse 25.
Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms do I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we learned about the Holy Spirit leading Paul and Silas on their journeys through Asia and into Macedonia, where a new church was formed in the house of Lydia, who was the first European Christian convert. Someone might ask the question, how can we know we are being led by the Holy Spirit? In today's lesson, we saw how the Holy Spirit did not allow Paul and Silas to travel into certain areas, but used a vision to speak to Paul about going into Macedonia with the gospel. We are not certain exactly how the Holy Spirit directed Paul and Silas while traveling in Asia, whether by circumstances or divine revelation or by vision, what we do know is that the Holy Spirit is the director of the gospel mission, and we are servants who obey the instructions given to us. Perhaps one reason the Holy Spirit is not leading in our churches is because we are not listening to or obeying His instructions, but choosing rather to follow our own course by our own wisdom. But if we really genuinely want to hear the Holy Spirit and allow Him to guide us, then how can we discern His voice? It is good to remember that the Holy Spirit lives inside of our bodies, and He is not in some distant place where He cannot see and know our circumstances. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. It is not difficult for the Holy Spirit to communicate with us, but the problem is with our understanding and perceiving when He is talking to us. We may at times get a strong sense of the Holy Spirit directing us to do something, like help another person or share the gospel with someone. This strong feeling could well be the Holy Spirit directing us, but we ought to be very careful about this, since we could just as easily mistake the directing of our own will with the directing of the Spirit. If the strong sense of leading has to do with spreading the gospel message to others, or with helping and encouraging fellow believers, we would be rather safe to conclude that these desires are from the Holy Spirit living within us. We can know this because God tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and Jesus promised to be with us even to the end of the age. So when my strong feeling to share the gospel is confirmed by clear instruction in the Word of God, I can believe that I am being led by the Holy Spirit. This strong feeling or compulsion is not the most accurate way to discern the Spirit's leading, however. The best way to know the leading of the Holy Spirit is through reading and obeying the Word of God. When we read our Bibles and we hear the message, not just passively, but personally, and then obey the Word, we can be sure the Holy Spirit is the one teaching and directing us. Let's say a Christian is reading in his Bible about how God hates lying and all deceit, and the Christian knows they've had a bad habit of bending the truth. As they read and feel convicted by their own sin, the Holy Spirit will direct them to quit lying, and when they do respond by changing their ways and being honest, then we can be rather certain that it was the Holy Spirit who directed them. This is because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in agreement, and God does not change His mind or His ways. To listen to and obey the Word of God is the same as listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit. Let us think of another example to help us know how the Holy Spirit leads us. A Christian might be praying about souls to be saved, and for the mission work that his church has been involved with. As he prays, he is also reading the words of Scripture which command the church to go into all the world to teach, baptize, and make disciples. As the Christian hears this, he feels a strong compulsion that he must go and preach the gospel as the Word of God instructs. As he tells the church leadership about his desire to obey the Lord and preach the gospel, they may recognize God's call through the Holy Spirit and send him out as a missionary. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and can hear him speak as we listen carefully to the instructions of the Bible. When we learn God's Word and are convicted to act upon what we hear, we know that the Holy Spirit is teaching and guiding us. Let us be careful, though, about some people who say the Holy Spirit spoke to them or led them. And when we compare this to the Word of God, we see some inconsistencies. For example, if the preacher says, the Holy Spirit has revealed that the church needs to give more money for a special project, we could discern that this is not what the Holy Spirit would say to the church through the pastor who is benefiting from the giving. Many want to claim the leading of the Spirit, but we must test this against God's Word to make sure they are not just fakes. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. If one should ask of me, how can I tell? Glory to Jesus, I know very well. God's Holy Spirit with mind doth agree, constantly witnessing Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.